Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Empowering Family Caregiver Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am Polly Whitehorn, your host for today's show, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. Tomorrow is World Alzheimer's Day, which is why the focus of our show today is planning for Alzheimer's and dementia care for seniors. I am very pleased to introduce our distinguished guest, Gina Karich. She is the Executive Director of Client Care Services for First Light Home Care, which provides high-quality, non-medical in-home care and an engaging approach to dementia care for seniors. Gina is a registered nurse, a professional geriatric care manager, and a certified dementia care practitioner. At First Light Home Care, she has launched a specialized dementia program that offers a personalized, engaging approach to dementia and Alzheimer's care. Drawing heavily from her experience in the healthcare industry, Gina has established programs for seniors, including restorative exercise courses and classes to assist individuals suffering from dementia and first and second stage Alzheimer's. Gina, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Polly. It's a pleasure to be here. I see it as a great opportunity for everyone.
Great, great. Well, I've just got tons of things that I want to ask you. Well, first off, let me start off by asking you a question that will probably go deep into your past. Because how did your experience as a candy striper during your high school years influence your decision to enter the healthcare field and later the elder care industry?
Well, Polly, that does take me back a number of years, certainly. You know, I knew I really wanted to help people and people in need. You know, just by providing the simple things when I was a candy striper, such as fresh water pitchers, and, you know, it made me realize that I had a passion for those who were sick and injured and vulnerable. And then really later on, as I went through nursing school and as all the experiences that I had as a nurse, I really began to see that there were definitely areas in care that people needed, whether they were pediatric children or whether it was seniors. And, you know, as I matured through my career, I was able to and felt very strongly about the seniors and the care for them that was needed so desperately in our generation.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, let me ask you something else. I understand that you were a caregiver and you had experience caring for a family member with Alzheimer's. What was your number one challenge and how did you overcome it?
Well, thank you for bringing that up. I've had five family members who I have cared for and all of them have had dementia. And I think that the best way to help them was to make them feel at home. And so I gave them in my home. We worked together. You know, it helped me because I have a little bit of a creative side. But together we created a room that was their own. We used personal items such as their favorite lamp, a bedspread, pillows. We added, you know, some knickknacks and favorite pictures and even a favorite rocking chair in one instance just to make the other rooms feel more comfortable and home-like for them as well.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a great idea. Now, what questions should caregivers consider when they begin preparation for Alzheimer's care?
You know, certainly the one major question, and then I'll go on to a couple other questions I think are very important, but the big question you need to ask yourself is, can I give hope? Because dementia and Alzheimer's shouldn't be looked at always in such a negative light. There is a long-term process, and it can be many, many years that this person still has life. So it's a matter of, can I give hope? And then the next thing really is realistically, do I have a good support system? Because you're going to need some support in a number of different ways. Also, will I have the patience and the stamina, for this long term? And do I have a plan if, in fact, I don't have that long-term stamina and patience? And then lastly, always ask yourself, where can I get more information? What other resources can I find and utilize?
That's really helpful. Okay. Now, I know you've established many programs for seniors. For caregivers taking care of a loved one with Alzheimer's, what is the best way to structure the time spent on an activity? And how can caregivers choose an activity that is most beneficial to them?
Polly, this is truly where my creative side and my passion comes into what I do every day. And I really feel as though you need to know and find what the person's interests are. The person who has dementia, what are their interests? What were their interests in the past? What are their likes, their dislikes? And then culminate all that into what makes the person, your loved one with dementia, feel purposeful. It'll help to decide those activities that you're going to do throughout the day. And the activities need to be fun, they need to be age-appropriate, and in some instances they need to be comforting.
Mm-hmm.
It just really depends on how that person is feeling at that time during the day.
Can you just give me an idea of what some of these activities, might be, or some of the most interesting ones maybe that you've encountered that have been really helpful for the patient?
Oh, absolutely. One of the favorite parts of my Saturday is working with my mother-in-law who has Alzheimer's, and she had six children. She loved to cook. She loved to bake. And so one of the activities that she and I do every Saturday is to cook, and one thing that we love making together, because this is one of her favorite meals, is chicken salad. So knowing that Saturday we're going to do chicken salad, and she's going to sit, and she loves dill pickles in her chicken salad, and we cut all those little dill pickles up and she puts those in the chicken salad. Other things that you can do, certainly everything from and you need to look at the person. So I knew that my mother-in-law loved to cook. I knew that that was something that she really enjoyed doing. On the other side, when I had my uncle who had Alzheimer's with me, he loved to fish, and Uncle Charlie was one of those people who, he worked really hard. He was a diamond cutter, and that was what his business, side was. But his real passion was in fishing. So when he began, with the dementia, we set up a routine where when the weather was really nice, we would go to the park, and he would fish. And but we set it into a part of a routine, and it really helped him to continue to have those really good feelings, those good memories, and at the same time stay physically active.
That's really great. That's really great.
Yeah.
Now, one of the more painful parts of the Alzheimer's disease is when a loved one starts behaving erratically. How can caregivers cope with that?
Again, it goes back to Polly, using the knowledge you have about that person. So knowing that person completely and then diverting their attention sometimes to something that will make them feel good is the best method to deal with behaviors. There's, just as many behaviors that there are out there. There are numerous reasons for those, but there's also many methods that can be used to assist the person who is acting out. And the one thing you want to do is never give up on someone. So I'm going to just give you an example of how you can help someone who is let's say, repeatedly asking the same question over and over again. And in that circumstance, and this happens on a regular basis with people who have dementia, they'll just ask the same question. It can become very irritating to the caregiver. But if you can take that person, and my mother-in-law does this, she will constantly ask, you know, Harry, when are you going to take me home? Harry's her son. Harry, when are you going to take me home? Are you going to take me home soon? And he'll answer her the same way. And very soon, you know, the one question we asked her was, so, Mom, what do you mean when you say, take me home? And we thought she would say she wanted to go back to her house. Well, she said, well, I need to go back to Tennessee and see Mommy and Daddy before something happens to them. Well, you know, that's a light bulb coming on. And what we then saw was the best thing to do was to take her back to a memory where she could then feel good about home. So we have a whole set. We actually have two huge binders that have very large pictures that she sits, and they have memories of her father's general store, and it has memories of her brothers and sisters, and it has the dogs and the farm and the cars and all the things that she remembers from when she was in Tennessee and when she then came to Ohio and then having all of her children. And that just helps her as far as that particular behavior. You know, and then on the other hand, we'll go back to my Uncle Charlie, who... He would become angry, because he wanted to drive, and you know he was angry because he didn't have his car and he didn't have his car keys, and he had a white Chevrolet and he was really upset that that was gone. Well, he found that when he began to, you know, escalate with the anger, that the best thing that we could do was to say, yeah, Uncle Charlie, let's go for a walk. And we would go for a walk, and then we would come back, and I'd say to him, let's now listen to some music, or could you play the piano for me? Because he loved to play the piano. So what we would do is we would try to take off some of that anger to a point that we would then be able to get into a more relaxing type of activity that made him feel good because he loved to play the piano, or we would play music because he loved to listen to the music.
Great strategy, great strategy.
Right.
What should caregivers expect when they are involved in late-stage Alzheimer's care?
Well, this is really the part of what I call the long goodbye that is the most painful for caregivers, because really at that point there's a lack of recognition, and it can feel like rejection. The person, you know, with Alzheimer's and with dementia is sincerely not recognizing the person, and it's not personal. But sometimes that feels that way to a loved one. And also then the person with the dementia begins to have some very dramatic physical changes. So those are some of the things that you need to prepare for and you need to expect that are going to happen.
It's a hard thing to get ready for, I must admit. Long-distance caregiving is another challenging aspect in dementia and Alzheimer's care. What strategies would you suggest for those who have to deal with this kind of caregiving?
You know, that's very interesting. And again, it goes back to something that I sincerely enjoy. And I think that is technology. You know, the technology out there today has sincerely made long-distance visiting, whether it's with, you know, grandchildren or whether it's with other loved ones, it's made it so much easier. You know, things such as Skype and webcams and even the social medias and like Google Plus and Facebook and, you know, family portals. You know, we have a family portal at First Light Home Care in which the family can actually log in and take a look at the caregiver notes, and all of that helps in assisting with staying connected with that person.
That's great. How can caregivers ensure a life of dignity for loved ones suffering from Alzheimer's? I know you touched on it a little bit, but maybe you want to expand it a little bit more for our listeners.
Certainly, Polly. And this is one of those very important things to me, and I think to everyone, is dignity throughout life. And I really suggest to everyone to ask the tough questions. Now, that means ask the tough questions of your loved ones or in the early stages of dementia. And then ask the tough questions of your care providers as well, so the physicians and others that are involved in that person's care, and then plan ahead. So such things as making arrangements and organizing everything from just the routines of daily living, you know, what is this person like? When do they like to brush their teeth? When do they like to take a bath? You know, when do they take their medication? It's even asking them, where do they want to live? And who are their social contacts? Knowing all of their physicians, everything from their regular physician to all the specialists they may have, and the tough questions about finances and the financial institutions and where are their accounts, you know. Do they have benefits such as the VA, and are there any end-of-life decisions that they want to make ahead of time? Those are tough questions. But certainly in those dynamics, those family dynamics, those are the things that you need to prepare. And then just know a geriatric care manager like myself can also help to pull all of this information together.
Oh, that's great. Now, as a certified dementia practitioner, what factors did you consider when working to create First Light's special dementia program?
You know, first and foremost, I think getting to know the person with dementia intimately so that our caregivers then know how to make that particular individual have a daily feeling positive experience. Because at the end of the day, the person with dementia is not going to remember who you are. They're really not going to remember why you were there. But as long as they see you and say, you know, I don't remember who you are or why you were here, but you know, it made me feel good, and I hope to see you again. So it's that feeling good experience that we're really looking for. That's first. Second, then, is, you know, ensuring that every member of the First Light Home Care team is competent in the skills that it takes to provide specialized care to those with dementia.
And just give me a little bit, just tell me exactly about the uniqueness of your First Light Dementia Program. If you could just add a little bit more on that.
Of course, Polly. The First Light Home Care Who I Am booklet is part of the uniqueness of our program. So this booklet is meant to, and it helps to gather information about the affected individual, and then not only, you know, build on that information to create and develop a plan for those who are caring for them. It educates those individuals who are the caregivers in regards to this specific individual. This is what the First Light Home Care Personalized Engaging Approach to Dementia is really all about. It is about finding out what did a person do in the past, and what did they like, and what is their routine today, and you know, what makes them feel good, and what helps them as far as memory is concerned. So there are some individuals who really enjoy puzzles. There are others who really do not like puzzles but enjoy even playing such things as the Wii game and interacting with that type of environment. So finding out those and what works for that individual just to help keep their mind as well as their body stimulated and active.
That's great. I love that. I love that idea of the booklet. Now, what should caregivers and seniors expect during the transition phase when you have a professional coming in to care for an elder with Alzheimer's or dementia?
Well, our goal at First Light Home Care is to provide peace of mind by really fostering healthy relationships for life. So by caring for those with dementia while their family is either at work or, let's say, simply taking a break away from that individual, it could be that they're going to the grocery store, maybe they're just spending the morning, you know, a morning at church, or they're going out to dinner with friends, or that really benefits everyone. It benefits not only the person who has Alzheimer's, but it also benefits the caregiver so that they are refreshed and come back with more hope and a more positive feeling themselves.
Okay, now there's a transition phase. Let me just move on to my next question. What services are included with the dementia program?
Well, again, we individualize those activities. So it really has to be, it can be any of the services that we provide. But let's say that that particular individual has a routine that they have always played cards. Now, they don't necessarily remember, or they may not be really good with the cards anymore. But it's things such as playing cards with those people. It is, whether it's taking someone to a park for a walk, or maybe it's helping them with a bath. So it can be, because people who have dementia and Alzheimer's are resistant sometimes to a bath, but we need to find out and figure out why. It could be everything from, we had one individual who, she was terrified of the bathtub, just terrified of the bathtub. And come to find out that years ago she had been told a story about a little girl who, you know, who was taken down the drain of the bathtub. So she was absolutely terrified. But she only had a tub in her home. She didn't have a shower. So until the dementia came on, she didn't really have this recurring fear. But what we were able to do was to show her, and now she puts the plug in the tub herself.
Brilliant.
Before she gets in. And then that eliminated that fear. With my mother-in-law, it's a matter of she likes to choose what color towel and what design towel that she's going to use. So some days it's stripes and some days it's flowers, but she loves to be able to choose.
That's great. That's great strategies. In the remaining time that we have on the show, we've got about 6 minutes left. I wanted to ask you about some of the additional tools within the area of family services at First Light. Can you tell us about these tools and how they are useful in the caring process?
Oh, I certainly can. There's a number of things that really we feel strongly about. We feel very strongly about communication. So communication, you know, begins with our client first services, and that really includes 7 touch points. This gives constant communication with the clients and the families throughout their experience with us. So it's a matter of we have designed a program and a routine that, you know, we have 7 different times routinely that we are in contact continually with the client as well as with the family members. I talked a little bit about our portal. You know, it's certainly something where people out of state can utilize to take a look at what's happening with their loved ones, but it also can be someone who's in town or just across town as well. And then I think, you know, everyone knows we provide the non-medical companion of personal care, But in addition to that, even another step from that is, you know, the personal emergency response system. And our whole goal is to keep people and assist them in staying in their own homes comfortably for as long as they possibly can. So all of those pieces are just additions to what we do at First Light Home Care with the personal care and the companion care.
Okay. Well, we've got just a few minutes left, and I have one last question, which is, what is the most important piece of advice you can offer to family caregivers coping with caring for someone with dementia?
Well, Polly, first I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today. But let me answer this question by saying, please know when to ask for help. Don't be embarrassed about asking for help. Don't feel guilty. It is certainly every one of us needs help at some point in time. But those who are family caregivers and coping with someone with dementia, you need to know when it's time to ask for help. So, you know, we are here for you, but there are many other resources in the community that are there for you. I know that there is and has been for years a certain stigma about Alzheimer's and people with Alzheimer's. And what we are doing is we are trying to help eliminate that and have people understand that there's definitely empathy there for all of you who are doing this day to day. And I certainly have more empathy than most because I'm dealing with it myself on a day to day basis.
Wow. Well, thank you, Gina. You've really given us so much information, and it's really been a pleasure having you as our guest today. You know, you can learn more about Gina at www.firstlighthomecare.com. I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in today. Join us next Tuesday, September 27th at 2 p.m. Eastern for our radio show, Caregiver and Physician Conversations, hosted by eCare Diaries caregiving expert Marjorie Pabst. Marjorie will interview Dr. Richard Bommelger, co-author of Listening Leaders, about finding a deeper way of listening to both doctors and patients, a tool that could save lives. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, please visit www.ecarediary.com. Registration is free and gives you immediate access to your personal care diary tool. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. My Twitter address is ecare_diary. Thanks again for joining us today. See you next week. Bye-bye.